And she held on to it and claimed that she had given her life to Christ. Now, she wasn't a bad person, just didn't know better. And then by word of knowledge that God revealed it to the other lady who was praying and then confronted her with it, and she realized that it was the truth. Do you follow what I mean? And then she now demanded her to relinquish that power, and she didn't agree for a while. Now, I told the story to let you understand that you don't just get up and, spirit of corruption, we cast it out. No. You know where we start? We start in people. Now, I pray that God will give me understanding on how to connect this. We start with what? People. Because as long as the people hold on, are you getting me? To certain things in their hearts, the spirit that's in the air cannot go. You know, I said something some time ago. Let me just as an example again. Well, a brother asked me a question. He was referring to a message, actually, that Bishop Oyedepo preached, and who said that demons don't come to church. That what was Bishop saying? That people gather and say, before we start, let us cast out all demons out of this arena. He said, demons don't come to church. That the church is a gathering of believers. That if you have seen demons in church, something's wrong with your eyes. That the church is a gathering of the saints. That demons don't come to church. Now, so one brother asked me, I said that there was this book he read, we all read the book, in which Ken Hagin pastored a church. And he said it was the driest, that was a church which, if he mounted the pulpit, before he will start praying, he will feel this anointing to preach the part. No matter how hard he tries, the message will just not flow. Are you getting my point? It will strain, the message will not flow. No matter what, the message wouldn't go. After a long time, he left the church, all right, and walked away. And another pastor came. And the pastor was wondering, how come this church is so cold that nobody can pray? So the pastor took time out and began to pray. And he was praying and praying and praying. And then one day, as he was praying, he looked up. And it's as if the ceiling disappeared. And he saw a demon sitting on the roof of the church. And that was the problem. Does the brother remind me of that story? Now listen to this. So that man cast out the demon. The demon ran away. The demon fell down. Then he chased the spirit out of the church and told the guy to disappear. Finally, the guy ran down, entered one drinking joint further down the road. The following night, the place burnt down. These things are real. I mean, not a joke. The following night, the place burnt down. So, brother was asking me that. But that demon was in church. Now, I told the story to spark your thinking. Now, what was the guy doing in church? Was he in church? Number one, he was in the roof of the church. He was not in church, actually. He was in the roof of the church. It's a world of difference. But this is the point. Was he really in church or was he in church? That's not the issue. Now, I told you something about spirit. It was one evil spirit. One. But now, I hope I'm not mixing my stories, but my message will still be clear. He said, how come that thing got there? You ask yourself, because that's what Christians don't understand. They get a bit fearful. Can the evil spirit just come and like now say, okay, Pastor Banky will not preach again to these people. And the demon will come down and suddenly I can't preach again. I will tell you a number of things to you because you have to be careful. I'm talking about birthing the birth of a new generation. Because one of the things we must do is to make sure that evil spirits don't enter into the camp. They destroy things. They do. But what I want to explain is the way they enter. Actually, Peter says you don't give room to the devil. Do you know the reason? You have to open a door for it to enter. Now, if I'm not mixing up my stories, that was a church in which people used to sit in groups. The family of Israel and all his supporters would be on this side. All those support Olusemeka and Chukwuebuke, they would be on this side. You see people in camps. Do you get my point? Now, that spirit of division amongst the brethren is what invites such spirits to sit on their roofs. I don't know whether you get the point. See, yesterday, I went to teach at Newe. And I taught to the students. When I started, I knew this lecture was a bad lecture. For me, secular lecturing, I teach pathology, is a spiritual exercise. No, that's for me. For me, I impart a spirit of understanding to you when I enter the class. It's not just by talk. Do you follow my point? No, really. It's just my assignment. So I enter the class. I started talking. Number one, I had to raise my voice a bit. One, the class they used was wrong. Number two, because they had a bit of ambient noise. For the first time I started teaching them, I removed my jacket because I said I was too hot. I looked for where to hang it. Nowhere. Put it on my seat and sat on it, on the stool. And I thought and thought. At the end of the day, I knew nobody learned anything. Just that I had to just finish the lecture. After I finished, I called the class captain. I said, come. From now on, I'm not taking lectures at 12 o'clock. The lecture was like 1. So I had 1. The people had been in class continuously since 8 o'clock. Now, I'm coming to something. I told the class captain, I said, I know when you are not connecting. Look, most lecturers come, maybe they dictate their notes, explain a few points and walk out. I'm not like that. I connect with my students. In fact, in Enugu here, as a rule, my students are not allowed to write when I'm talking. Because I have a rule. You must connect with me. Do you understand? If you write while I'm talking, all right, I kick you out of my class. My reason is simple. You must connect with me. When I go to other places to give lectures and the people write, for certain reasons I permit them, I also have another rule. You don't ask questions if I see that you are a copying person. If there's any question, we'll put up in hand. I say, no, you don't talk. All you've been doing is copying. Now, please, I'm trying to get a principle out to you here. That you see, for me, I it's not just about delivering a lecture and walking away. Now, I know when the thing is flowing. I know when it's not flowing. So I told his class captain, I said, look, this thing wasn't flowing. I know people didn't learn anything. They knew they didn't learn. And I told them, I know they hide. I said, obviously, today we have wasted each other's time. When I'm teaching normally, I feel this thing dropping. I can feel it. Today, as I will speak, the spirit will leave me. It will hit their faces. It bounce back, enter my ears, enter into my brain, stay there again. I knew the thing was not going anywhere. Now, what I'm trying to explain, what's the reason? Why was it like that? It's simple. They were tired. In their hearts, please. Oh, God. That is, as you are talking, the hearts had left the class. Do you follow what I'm saying? Their spirits were no longer there. It's not their fault. I mean, they needed to take a rest. Now, let me say something to you. It's not just about being physically tired. It's when you are physically tired, there's what the Bible calls weariness of the soul. That is, the soul also goes with it. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yes. So, when you come and you're supposed to receive something, you can't anymore. I remember when someone was in school, there was somebody that when he would come to preach, he loved this demonstration of spiritual things. He loved it. And he will preach and will be there for a long time more. So one particular day, we organized a program. That particular day, everybody said, who's preaching? His brother so and so. Oh, God. He will go come up for fellowship today. So I still remember one sister. I said, enter fellowship. Banky, how are you? I'm fine. We just did there for some time. He said, now, wow. So this one is this brother ABC that's preaching today. I wonder how it will come up for fellowship today. The guy arrived. Now, this is a man who normally is full of the spirit and all of that. He arrived. He preached. He wanted to begin. He wanted to start operations. You know what I'm trying to say here? As he will start, I can still remember the feeling. After about 15 minutes of struggling, he took the microphone, closed the meeting, and all of us were like, what? What? Praise God. But I still remember very well how it felt. Afterwards, he met me, he said, I don't understand what happened tonight. But man, the things that were supposed to happen did not happen. In my mind, I said, okay, you were the only one waiting for them to happen. See all these people? They had all gone home. That is, they came with a grumbling spirit. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm trying to say. So that happens. That happens. That's why I tell people, be very careful. There are things you do that opens the door for a kind of spirit. That particular church Kenegi was talking about, that was their problem, the spirit of strife. And let me tell you something about spirits. They don't move alone, evil spirits. They go alone first time. If you walk too hard, they bring more people. He said, what do I mean? Jesus said, when you cast out an evil spirit, what does he do? He goes to gather 7 friends who generally must be more wicked than he is. And that's what spirits do. They open the door. Others rushing. That's what he said, come out of him. The guy grumbled. Jesus said, what is your name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. One guy was talking, but he's a commander of plenty. So he had opened the door and put in all his troops. That is why the Bible talks about the root of bitterness springing up, troubling people. Now, that is, the first thing is just bitterness. By the time the bitterness is through, the amount of trouble it has caused, you won't believe it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'm bringing out something. So you find out that you don't just get up and say, okay, let's cast out this spirit from the air. Let me tell you the truth. You kill it from the root. When Jesus killed that tree, he said, no one will eat of your fruit again. The tree dried from the root. From the root. And now I'm bringing out something. Because what we have, Jesus looked and said, this is an evil and an adulterous generation. Are you getting my point? You find a whole group of people and they will not be able to enter into the promised land. You know, I said that last week. The promised land, they can't step into it. They just can't. Why? Because they have an evil and an adulterous attitude. And this is Nigeria. We have and the corruption is just out there. Listen, if you were here on last week, Monday, when Paul was talking about sexual immorality, and he was talking about how those that do such things, talking about sinning against the body and all of that, I analyzed the number of points. I explained then that Paul was describing the sins that leak out spiritual ability. I'm trying to explain something. Just to give you another example. I'll summarize many stories. When Balaam tried to curse the children of Israel and they couldn't be cursed, you know what he did? He told Balak that these people, they are too strong. There's nothing you can, nothing. There's nothing you can do. You know what you do? So those fine girls, they're inside your cities. Say yes. Just spot them. Let them just pass in front of the boys. Just stay the boys up to, to sexual immorality. When they start, don't worry. Then they are meat for you. That's the counsel of Balaam. Their acts of immorality was the thing that opened the door. And that was why God had to, now listen to me. God had to judge those ones rapidly. Because if he didn't, the whole nation was gone. No, please, I'm talking this plenty for you to understand that Satan is alive and very, 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 working very hard, very active, trying to ensure that you and I are not able to showcase the glory of God that's in our lives. And what does he do? He wants us to be subject to the effects of the prince of the power of the air. Are you getting my point? And there is a spirit that's working because of his work in the children of disobedience. And that's what makes them subject to the wrath of God. And this is one thing about God. Even though we are his children, if we do the works dictated by that spirit, we get the same judgment that the children of disobedience get. That's why I read that he said, come out from amongst them and be what? Separate. The people that God saves in every generation are those, now listen, that are righteous in their generation. Listen, I said something that God wants to bless a nation like ours, not with the kind of people that we are right now. It's impossible. Whatever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. There are some people that God has joined to the fact that they can never take the promised land. Corrupt people like that. The only way God will be able to bless the nation, like we have prophesied that he will. Don't forget what we said about faith as the substance of things hoped for. That when we discover what God wants to do, we prepare for it. Do you understand my point? So first we prophesy those promises. And having those promises, what do the brethren start doing? They start cleansing themselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit. That's what I'm trying to say. That listen, the Christianity that only happens in church and gives the impression that it doesn't affect how we do business is the reason why we will never... You can sow seed for breakthrough from now till the year 2025. All you will experience is breakdown. Listen, every seed you sow, not sown out of selfishness and vainglory, has a reward. But the reward cannot be delivered until there's a purification of the defilement of flesh and of spirit. Are you getting the point I'm making? And what am I teaching? I'm teaching the dynamics, what's really happening. Why God can't bless people, but next thing, that the people that will bring in the blessing of God will be marked by the fact that they have been separated. And what God is doing to believers every day, that they are constantly washed by the water. You will see the bride of Christ. He will tell you that she has washed her garment. Are you getting my point? Listen, let me tell you something. There was something that Paul said here. He said that among them we two all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh. If you read that book, Choice is Key to Destiny. That was what I explained. That if you are born into a society, there's no, you, listen, except God does an unusual work. Except He does an unusual work, the spirit in that generation will affect you. Now, you find rare circumstances like that, where John the Baptist is filled with the spirit from his mother's womb. Do you get my point? And God just, you know, his life is just unusual from beginning to the end. You find a few circumstances like that, where Jesus Christ is indeed conceived of a virgin and is given birth to, and the Holy Spirit says, this one is my son, and he personally tutors him. Because the responsibility of the father to tutor his son. Are you getting my point? And he personally tutors him, and you see him outstanding from the day he's young. Most of that people is not like that. Your father is a mafia boss. Come on, you are going to be a mafia boy. There's nothing you can do about it. But while you are a mafioso, one day God will come to you and show you the way of truth. That's why I wrote in that book, Choice is Key to Destiny. What I'm trying to explain, look, we're all born into this country. Paul said this is the way it works. All of us all formerly lived in the lusts of the flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind. I'm trying to call Christians to something. That it is important our perspective to life starts changing. You can corrupt anything in the world, you can. I bought a book, The Power and the Glory. It's a story by David Yalop, the same guy who wrote In God's Name, all right? He also wrote a story about the last Pope, Pope John Paul II. So I wanted to see what he had to write. Quite a big volume. So this man and I, our printer, were discussing. So he said that the man was a communist, that he has heard that the man was a communist. I said the man was born into communism. He knew nothing else but communism around him as a form of government. Except that, of course, he was a priest and he believed in God. Do you understand my point? And that when he went to America, he saw how shallow the Americans lived. Therefore, he had no choice but to reject their capitalism. I don't know whether you're getting my point. So we're analyzing the issue of communism. And I made a point to him. I said, but in reality, let's look at it. That what communism tries to achieve, that there's a lot of it that is actually Christian. What I mean, let me explain what I'm saying. I'm not talking about the rejection of God, but let's say let everybody be equal, let nobody be superior to the other. I said, in reality, if you look at the ideal framework of God, do you understand my point? That's actually what God is saying. That nobody will lack, everybody will do his own portion, that you'll be a body of people who are just committed to the Christ. And that's like that. So that they give everything that they have for the progress of the body. You get my point? That's something similar to what communism tried to do. Except that they miss the point. Again, that's what the problem, they miss the point. Such power can only be infused into people by a spirit. Do you get my point? And this time around, the spirit of God. Otherwise, it will not be a spirit of love. He said, God is love. Satan cannot offer you love. You reject God, you reject love. Therefore, you try to build what only love can build by force. That's why every time people protested, they will send soldiers into the street. Are you getting my point? Yes, because only a spirit of love could build those things. So now, I'm trying to bring out something. So the man and I were now, I explained that point. So he now said that, when I talked about what Christianity is supposed to be, which I said, it may sound, if you don't understand the difference, like communism. He now said that, but that is not what Pentecostals are teaching now. He's a Christian. I say, yes, it is not. He said, they teach capitalism. I said, again, there's a problem with that. That real capitalism was started by Puritans. You know what they call Puritans? Those who, their life now, holy life. So they built the capitalism in America. I was hearing somebody preach about it. And the principle behind their own capitalism is not today. I've seen an advert run by America to show the rest of the communist world how they prospered. And they show a man, tall buildings, skyscrapers, car, everything, and say, come and experience the joys of capitalism. Now, people think capitalism now means have plenty of money, drive flashy cars, cut the long story short, enjoy your life to the maximum. Are you getting my point? That's what people think capitalism now means. But actually, the people who founded it, I heard, that was not what they had in mind. You know what they said? It was this principle of the Bible. The master gave to each according to his ability. Don't say all men must be equal. They must earn the same amount of money. Say no. Let each demonstrate what is able to earn. I don't know whether you get the point. That let the market be free. Let each man go out and work and demonstrate the gifts that is inside him. Do you understand my point? The idea is that to him that has, more shall be given. What's the principle behind that? If you read it, all of them were given one talent each. Do you understand that there are two parables? Now, this second one, each person was given 1 mina each. And one multiplied his own 10 times. One multiplied his own only twice. And one multiplied his own, not at all. Do you understand my point? Now, the one for the man who didn't have was given to the man who had plenty. Why? Because he had demonstrated superior ability to multiply it, to handle it. Are you getting my point? So the principle of capitalism they taught was simple. If you see a man who can make $1 million, then most likely he can make two. And if he can make $2 million, he can make 10. And if he can make $10 million, he can make 50. And if he can manage $50 million, maybe he can make $1 billion. And if he can make $1 billion, why don't you allow him to make $2 billion? Have you seen all of them? I saw Warren Buffett, current richest man in the world, not looking very expensive. I heard he has lived in the same house for almost 30 years. I want to say same house, a normal house. Not he lived in a ranch and he's staying on that ranch, no. This normal, what they call suburbia, you know, suburban house. And he's the current richest man in the world. One day they asked this man, Tom Cruise, what are you wearing? I bought it maybe like this t-shirt. I bought it $40 in the shop. That is. You're expecting to say that, oh, this is a Dolce and Gabbana nonsense. Hey, when I want to go, you got to enter shop like everybody else, buy cloth like everybody, wear cloth like everybody else. Those are real true capitalists. What I'm trying to say is that the idea of behind capitalism was not that, okay, be rich, use all the things, and let everybody else be poor. No. If you can handle wealth, we allow you multiply it. They are trying to make everybody equal is to cap the abilities of some other people. Do you understand my point? So let the pastor who can build a church of 10,000 people, let him do it. Let the one that can write 70 books in his lifetime, let him write it. Let him write them. Are you getting my point? The man who can make $1 billion, let him make it. And that's why till now, Americans will not elect into office if you can't demonstrate what you can do by what you have done before. If Nigerians will just sit down and say, okay, you have been a faithful boy, you will be the local government chairman. So you see a tout who the only reputation he has is for causing trouble. His father knows he's a troublemaker. The ruler of his village knows he's a troublemaker. Everybody in the community knows he's a troublemaker. You wake up next day, he's the local government chairman. It should tell you that there is a spirit of corruption that has not yet gone away. You know what real capitalists do? They appoint men who have demonstrated how they manage their abilities. So Michael Bloomberg finishes making hundreds of millions of dollars. He resigns from his company, hands over to somebody else, and becomes mayor of New York. Do you understand my point? There's one pastor like that in America who became governor of the state. He built a church of thousands of people. And then he resigned from being pastor, contested to be governor, and is currently governor. Now, I'm trying to bring out the principle. See that you can see it from outside and insult capitalism. You know, say anything you like about socialism. And at the end of the day, you look and ask yourself, where did this start from? I'm bringing out an issue. It may have been corrupted now. You know, I see a lot of stock market trading people do is pure corruption. Period. Now, recently, one of my guys was telling me about new rules they have in stock market. That for the price of a stock to move a particular level, to move at all, there's a minimum volume of trade that must have been involved. And the money must really change hands. You know what they found out? Some of the guys, you know, if you have been watching the stock market, it's been stagnant for weeks now. Seriously stagnant. Two reasons. One of them, they don't know where Adwa is going. Number two is that stock exchange, what they call NSE, right? Brought out some stringent rule, and SEC. They brought out some serious rules that for a stock price to move, the certain volume must have been traded. The reason that before, you know what guys used to do? You sell to me, I sell to you. The same thing, the one you sold me yesterday, I sell to you today. We'll keep on moving it. Each time the trade moves, its share price climbs up one bit. So two of us will just keep on increasing the price. After a while, we liquidate, we clean out. So you see, people were just making money anyhow. Now, you can take advantage of a good system. What's the issue behind the whole stock exchange? The idea is that you don't have to go to the company. Just buy a bit of it. While you are doing your work, you can allow your money work for you. That's the whole principle. But Satan gets up and corrupts the system. I'm bringing out something, please. Talking about building a new generation. All right? One of the things, as an example, you'll have to do. One guy, one of my brethren in the Lord, said to me one day, he said, there are times, no matter how much money you tell him there is to make in this thing, if he looks at the company, he doesn't know what they are doing, he doesn't know where they are going, he's not persuaded about their real value, he doesn't pay a dime. If you tell him that you can make 50 million naira, he says, I don't want. It's called coming out from amongst them and being separate. Please, I'm trying to explain something. So you find out that there's a spirit in the air. Take this capitalism as an example. It was founded upon certain principles. Then the world took it over. Are you getting my point? Coming out from amongst them and being separate is to go back to the real spiritual foundation. Do you get my point? You start having a different mindset. And let me tell you, I said something last week, that it will not be temptation if it was not tempting. The thing that's not tempting wouldn't be a temptation. That's what the Bible actually calls renewing your mind. Let's read that. I want to close with that. I just realized that my time has really gone. Romans chapter 12. It says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, please, let me explain this again. I want to close with it. We'll continue developing. This is a long story we have to tell on this particular matter. We have to talk to ourselves and realize that if we are going to step into great things as we have prophesied, it is not by struggling. Let me tell you something about Christianity. I've said it again and again. It is not about struggles. Actually, it's about what? Rest. It's just that you labor to enter into rest. Let me say this before I close. There is nothing you can ever imagine that God has not already done, prepared, it's waiting to manifest. One. And anything you can imagine that can happen or that you will do or God will do through you, God has already done beyond that and is waiting to manifest. Did you hear what I said? You know what God is waiting for? He's waiting for you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you will get to a point, listen to me, you will get to this point that all you have to do, all right, is wait and God will move you to the place he wants you to be. I don't know whether you are getting my point. Let me say it again. There is nothing that you can ever imagine that God has not already done. Whatever it is that I will become, God has prepared it. There are a few things he's waiting for, a few things. God said, I am waiting until you have been transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is why the race, the job of the Christian is not to jump up and down. You want to be a business, you want to make money. It's not to run up and down. It's to go look for a corner where you can settle regularly. Do you follow my point? And don't forget our spiritual, economic empowerment and development strategies. I must do that thing. Because, listen, there is nobody, listen to me, who will listen to the things I will teach for those days, believe them. I'm not saying act upon them. Forget about acting upon them. Just believe them. There's none that is called into the realm of wealth and business that will not be a billionaire. There's not one. See, they fear to say amen. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. This is how God does things. He prepares what he wants to do. I told you before that when God said, let there be light, he didn't speak English. You know that. There was no English that time. What did he do? The Bible said the Spirit of God was moving upon the surface of the waters. He was cooking up images, ideas, plans. What plans do we put here? What animals do we put here? How do we want the seas to be? How do we want the mountains to be? He was cooking up everything. Then once it was fully cooked, the Bible said, then God, and there was. Didn't speak any language. He just uttered the spirit that was manufactured inside him, which was a summary of the whole picture in his mind. What am I saying? When it came to your life and mine and our nation, God wrote long ago and he has shown people what he's doing. Listen, now this is what happens. The same thing is happening now. This time around I'm speaking in English. But it's not the language. Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing. It's the spirit that gives life. He said, the words that I speak, they carry a spiritual substance. Are you getting my point? They carry a spiritual substance that imparts life wherever they go. What am I saying? I am not saying you will prosper. I'm saying if you hear me, you don't have a choice anymore. When God said, light be, could life refuse to be? Light refuse to be. The mistake you made was in believing. Once you believed, it's too late. Oh God, I wish you would get my point. That is, the things you have never imagined, the things you have never dreamt about, things that God will not show you lest you become afraid. You know, there are things that God goes, if I show this one, he will get, his head will break. Let's leave him for now. One day to be manifested in your life. They ask David, why are you dancing so stupidly and so nakedly? He says, it's not my fault. When I realized where I was, and here am I have no choice but to dance. That is, I never conceived I would get here. You know, I've said this to you before when I was teaching some time ago. I said, when we pray sometimes, have a vision, have a focus. I said, listen, this is what God does. He gives somebody money. He said, here is a mina. My Bible says, occupy or do business till I come. What are you supposed to do? Have a vision for that money. Amen? He said, my master has given me 100,000 naira. We have a vision for this money. How we are going to do it. We are going to use it to do this. We are going to manufacture it. Then we'll sell it. Over the next few years, the money should become like this. Then we'll employ this. Then one day the master comes back after a few years and says, where's the 100,000 naira I gave you? He says, sir, here is our bank balance. It's 500,000. Here's the accountant statement of all our assets, the things that we have acquired. You show him, this is the stock market value of the, you put everything together. Says, sir, we try small. It's worth only about 10.5 million. The master said, very good. I just conquered Liberia. You will be the governor. I don't know whether you get the point. That was what happened. Did you dream of Liberia? No. When you were dreaming, having ideas and exercising yourself, you were trying to multiply 100,000. So that the master will be pleased when he comes back. Then when he looked, I said, this guy is a good guy. Put him in charge of 10 cities. That was what he said. That is where God is really taking you to. Boy, you have never dreamt about it. It is impossible. He didn't give you the capacity to dream it. I don't know whether you are getting my point. All the energy that David had was to preserve his sheep. That's what he used it for. Play music, preserve sheep. Play music, preserve sheep. Sheep. That was all. This sheep, huh, you don't want to increase it. Eh? Wait, let me sing for you. When I finish singing, all of you go born 10-10. Then he will praise God and play. They go begin born. Very good. Then one goat of a lion will carry one. Then we will throw down the harp. I said, no, I know how much I prayed before this sheep was born. It will push up. Give me my sheep. And the lion will turn. He said, oh boy. I have to defend myself. I was just defending myself. Turned on the lion and smoked the lion. Why? Fighting for one sheep. God looked at him and said, ah, this guy is a true shepherd. Do you get my point? This one is a true shepherd. Because he's a true shepherd, I'll make him a king in Israel. David never prayed to be king. He never planned to be king. He never imagined he would be king. He was just using all the energy God gave him on his sheep. Do you get my point? That's what I'm trying to say. That when I finish teaching, now listen, this is what will happen to you. You will suddenly become diligent in that which God gave you for you to see. You will use all the divine principles. One of the greatest testimonies I heard in recent times was when Chike said, Pastor Banky taught me the principles of kingdom business. So now we run a business of giving when everybody is doing get all you can and can all you get. I said amen. In Jesus' name, for that testimony, you will prosper some more. Now, I'm serious about it. Listen, let me say it to you again. For what God has given you, use all the principles he has given you. But just know that that one is just a testing point to decide where exactly it will put you. There are those who are teaching nursery school today. God said, it's only you that can run a university that will turn out Christian businessmen. Honestly, I mean people who are really doing business as a ministry. Teach nursery school very well. Don't stop teaching nursery school. I am going to send all the difficult children into your class. Sweat over them. Listen to me, I'm not increasing your salary. So get the point very clear. But just keep teaching. Then one day the same fellow will look back. You buy a magazine one day. It's been found out that the most business people that run the most successful businesses in the world, they list about 50 of them. And you find out that 40 went to the schools that you run. So there's one we have in Liberia. We have another one in Malawi. There's one we opened last time in India. And you say, was I not the one that they will start music? You start dancing. You dance, you tear your cloth. This old guy, what is the problem? He said, just remember that all I used to do was teach nursery school. But now I teach world rulers. Do you get my point? That's what God is. That's what we are saying. Listen, those things were planned before you were born. They were planned before you were born. Are you getting my point? And how would they become manifested? That's what I'm saying. Once the word goes forth, he says, light be, prosperity be, success be. The mistake you made was to be present and be believing. Do you follow my point? Because most certainly it will come to pass. It's not about struggle. Most certainly it's not about struggle. What is God saying? He said, come out from amongst them and be separate. Reject their ways of doing things. No matter how much it seemed to profit them, reject it. No matter how much. Remember what we said when we're talking about walking in divine authority. There is a power I want to place in your hands. He said, come out from amongst them. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. We know the way the other people have walked have profited them. We have been filled with influences from the east and we have become soothsayers like Philistines. God said, wait. Oh boy, the day is coming when I will distinguish between those that serve God and those that did not serve him. He said, that day is coming in which I will judge everything that is exalted, that is lifted. All the cedars of Lebanon, I will bring them down. Anything that I did not make grow, I'm going to crumble it. If you want to prosper and endure, he said, what is the message? Come out from amongst them and be separate. And I will be a father unto you. Are you getting my point? I hope you've learned something today.